Welcome, friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you, coming to you from our basement out here in Eastern Plains, Colorado. Steve Vaughn also in studio with me today. As we come back to taking a look at politics and what is happening around the nation, a nation increasingly divided. But wow, what is going on with the state of Virginia, Steve? What a mess.
It is a mess. My goodness. It's crazy.
This is what it looks like when the wicked rule. They make a mess out of it, and that's what's happening right now. It looks to me like Governor Ralph Northam may be on ice. Let me give you history on this. It all began when a state legislator, Kathy Tran, suggested a born-alive abortion bill for the state. She issued the bill the same day she issued a bill on saving the grasshoppers.
Why would you save grasshoppers?
Save the grasshoppers, kill the kids. Yeah, that was pretty much Kathy Tran's agenda for the 2019 legislative session. And Governor Ralph Northam got on a radio program, endorsed the idea of this form of infanticidal negligence. So, you know, he's okay with it as long as the mother and the doctor agree on the infanticidal negligence. Just let the baby die. And this had to do with abortions where the baby is born alive.
Yeah.
And the mother still apparently is to have a choice. And New York, of course, approved the born alive segment of that in the most radical pro-abortion legislation probably in this nation's history.
Well, Barack Obama supported that as well when he was a senator in Illinois, that when it came up, he voted for it or didn't vote against the born alive bill. So he's for infanticide, too. So it just seems to be with the Democrats.
So Governor Ralph Northam got on a radio program, endorsed the idea of this form of infanticidal negligence. And then somebody found a blackface and a Ku Klux Klanner picture in his medical school yearbook from, I think it was 1986. And almost every major Democrat in the country went after him like a pack of wolves and tore him to pieces. Now, he's on ice. It doesn't appear he's going to survive this one. Also, somebody else found a rape charge against the lieutenant governor, who happens to be of a minority cultural background. But apparently, race trumps rape, as somebody put it in an editorial this morning. So it appears that old Governor Northam is on ice. So we'll see how that works out. But we want to discuss this just for a few minutes. It does appear that there are layers upon layers of hypocrisy here. Our politics is hurting right now. Infanticide, rape charges, racial tensions, these are the things that are tearing apart the state of Virginia. And remember how it started. It started with Governor Ralph virtually endorsing infanticide. And, you know, it's very easy to flick a little finger and knock a guy out of leadership in the revolutionary divided, unstable nation of ours. This reminds me a little bit of the French Revolution, where guys like Robespierre made it, you know, through 3 to 4 years, but it wasn't long before he was subjected to the guillotine. And this is the kind of thing that's happening right now with our politicians. They just don't have the ability to stick around because people are dragging out whatever happened in 1986. Not that they really care what happened in 1986. They're just, you know, looking for the next leader to tear apart, to destroy, and continue on with the revolutionary culture of the day.
Yeah, they basically care about the next election. They care about what their position is in politics and how much power and how much money they can get. That's really what they care about.
So there is something of a vulnerability for most politicians now. It'd be dangerous to run for a political office today because you can come down easily. But ultimately, it's God who brings these people down. God has created the political winds that now are extremely temperamental. There's no stability left in politics, but it's ultimately God who is sovereign. God raises these people up. He brings them down. And as King Nebuchadnezzar learned, he subjects guys to massive humbling, especially if they have lifted themselves up in an arrogant manner. And so God brings these people down. And Psalm 37 reminds us, I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a green bay tree, yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. So it's not for us to fret ourselves because of evildoers, nor be envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall be soon cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Let's remember this, my friends, that God is ultimately sovereign over all these people. And we should spend less time speaking of the machinations of the wicked and more time speaking of the power of Almighty Sovereign God of the universe, who is over all things and will bring every matter into judgment. Let's be sure that we're fearing God first and foremost and not fearing man and not dominating our conversations with what evil men are doing. Let's be sure that our conversations are mainly dominated with what God is doing in history and God's sovereignty in his judgment and his mercy upon a nation. And that's why we've put together American God's Providence, a biblical perspective of history, a biblical perspective of governments and powers. Let's be sure we're giving our children a concept of history such that God is completely sovereign. God is over all things. And friends, that's why we put together America in God's Providence as basic curriculum for Christian schools and Christian homeschools. So check out America in God's Providence at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. In just a moment, we'll discuss more of what is going on in Virginia next on the Generations broadcast. Folks, under Obamacare, the average family health care premiums now have exceeded $18,000, and more premium increases averaging 25% are expected for next year in 39 states. And remember, over 1,000 Obamacare plans cover abortion, and that's most of them. Five states offer no abortion-free plans at all. And you know that all Obamacare plans contain the contraceptive abort-efficient mandate. So what do Christians do? Well, I'll tell you what we have done. My family has gone with the Samaritan Medical Sharing Ministry since 1999. Over 17 years, we have shared our medical needs with brothers and sisters in Christ, and they have shared theirs with us. And the cost? Well, it's about one-third of what the average family pays under Obamacare. And Samaritan Ministries does not support the killing of unborn children. Our family has saved over $200,000 in insurance premiums over the last 17 years, and we have helped literally hundreds of Christian brothers and sisters with their medical needs. We write checks every month to different families who have needs to cover. How cool is that? On top of all of that, we can support the lives of unborn children while the powerful systems in Washington are doing just the opposite. I want to encourage you to check out Samaritan Ministries as an option for your family. Imagine healthcare sharing in a Christian way. Protecting life as Christians do at one-third the cost. Just check it out at SamaritanMinistries.org and mention Kevin Swanson when you sign up and we'll send you a free copy of my new book, Family Life. That's SamaritanMinistries.org. And we are back on the Generations broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you. Steve Vaughn also with me today. And coming back to this Governor Ralph Northam issue from Virginia. And friends, I think the issue here, the thing that we need to take a peek at is the hypocrisy of the nation, of the state, of the media, of just about everybody. The hypocrisy of it all is that they are constantly diverting us from the major issue, from the more fundamental issue. This is what man does. He strains at gnats and swallows camels. Jesus condemned the Pharisees of this kind of thing. And of course, most of our institutions are wrapped up in this kind of hypocrisy where they make a huge, huge, huge deal out of racist symbols. But there is absolutely no sensitivity about slaughtering babies or slaughtering black babies. You think of the black genocide going on right now. Thankfully, there are some African-American friends who are spearheading this protest against the quote-unquote black genocide, in which of the vast majority of babies being slaughtered are African-Americans.
Yeah.
And so proportionately, far, far more African-American babies are slaughtered than white babies. And so but the bigger issue is that these are innocent babies being slaughtered largely by government funding and support of Planned Parenthood. And we get back to this again and again because our nation ignores it. The Republicans won't back it up. President Trump attempted, but he continues to sign budgets that move some $600 million over to Planned Parenthood each year. And friends, this is the issue. The issue in this nation is that we are killing the babies. And this is much, much, much more egregious than even the racist symbols. Now, again, we have issues with racist symbols. We don't like it. It is a hateful, wicked thing. And yet, the nation is constantly being diverted away from the issue of the day, and that is that there is innocent blood being shed by government fiat and by government funding across this nation every single day. There are tens of thousands of babies being slaughtered, the blood of the innocents crying out to God for vengeance upon this nation. These are the things that are being ignored because the fear of God, of course, not the beginning of knowledge, and because man incessantly will strain after gnats and swallow the camels. This is what hypocrites do. This is what Republican hypocrites do. This is what Democrat hypocrites do. This is what man does best, Steve.
Yeah. And Margaret Sanger's ideals are being carried out by Planned Parenthood all the time now. I mean, they revere her, and she was out to get rid of the African-American people. She hates them, and that's why Planned Parenthood's right now still are being built in the in those communities, because they are catering to the African Americans. You can actually donate to Planned Parenthood and put that money towards a certain race or a certain group of people that you would prefer to have killed.
Yes. Again, my friends, I think the larger issue needs to be brought out for everybody to know. Friends, we don't want to be hypocrites. Friends, we want to understand what the basic issues are, what the more fundamental issues are. We need to come back to what God considers to be the egregious sins of the day. Some sins of themselves and by reason of several aggravations are more heinous in the sight of God than others. You'll see that throughout Scripture. There are reasons why God destroys nations, primarily sexual sin and the slaughter of the innocents. And of course, that's why this nation is going to come down, unless there's some repentance that happens. Now, Governor Ralph Northam has a problem. His character is broken, and I think it's obvious to the nation. Our African American friends need to realize that the Democrats are not their friends. They are being used. And I think, you know, that needs to be impressed upon. Now, we're not the only ones saying this.
No.
There are African American Christian leaders that are out front on this one, and I'm thankful for that. But friends, it's time to just say, hey, we're not going to be hypocritical anymore. We're going to go to the real issues. We're going to discuss the real issues, and that is the black genocide. That is the infanticide. That is the problem of abortion and abortifacients, which has contributed to the murder and the slaughter of 100 million babies in America since the 1960s. And that is a more egregious issue in the sight of God than anything else. It's obvious Governor Ralph doesn't respect human life, Steve.
No.
He does not respect human life.
Not at all. He doesn't respect the African Americans. He doesn't respect the unborn. And if you're an unborn African American, you watch out in Virginia.
And whatever happened in his yearbook, I think, is just reflective of his whole attitude towards human life. He got on that radio station and he said, just let the child die. That child born alive, you let it die. You don't touch that child. You don't give that child necessary food and sustenance. You let the child die. That was his perspective that he shared on that radio program a few weeks ago. And that, of course, is what stimulated this fallout, I think. I believe that God is just not going to allow this man to continue leading. He's such a wicked man. God's pulling him out of office.
Yeah. So is Fairfax then going to take his place, the rapist? Or, you
know, well, again, he is charged with okay. rape. So, again, we don't know precisely, you know, what the issue is there, but we'll see. We'll see how all that plays out. It's obvious that our civil magistrate is filled with people who break the Seventh Commandment. They break the Sixth Commandment. They break the Eighth Commandment. It should not surprise you that a man who is willing to kill babies is also a man who would break the Seventh Commandment. So,
yeah.
Again, scandal is the way in which this game is played in politics in America today. I would say the vast majority of our leaders are subject to these accusations of scandal. And so basically the whole system lacking integrity, the entire system lacking any real commitment to God's commandments, are subjecting themselves to being yanked out of office. And this is the kind of thing that's going on right now, friends. This society that is so lacking in integrity and lacking in character subjects itself to a situation in which nobody's safe in their political office, with the exception of some. I'm sure there's an occasional Joseph or an occasional Esther out there. But generally speaking, our society is so filled with drunkenness, orgies, sexual sin, abortion, infanticide, and all the rest, that it would not surprise me that there will be many more scandals in the next 20, 30, 40 years as we continue to see politicians yanked out of their positions.
Yeah, well, at least we have Christian colleges and like the CCCU that's standing up for what are they standing for?
Well, I want to get to that in just a moment, Steve. But before I do that, let's talk about the fundamental problem with Christian colleges and with our political state and with Governor Ralph Northam. What is the fundamental problem? And that is they just don't fear God. And I know that we sound like a broken record on this program because we come back to this again and again. But the beginning of wisdom and knowledge is the fear of God. And that includes the preaching of the word of God. That includes the way we do our churches, the way we do our education, our Christian colleges, and our politics. In fact, the most fundamental requirement for anybody who leads among the children of men is that they fear God, 2 Samuel 23, verse 2. So, friends, remember the fear of God, the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. And Ecclesiastes 8:13 reminds us and reminds Governor Ralph Northam, yet because the wicked do not fear God, it will not go well with them. So if you want to come down to the basic, most fundamental issue with Governor Ralph, friends, because the wicked do not fear God, it will not go well with them. Psalm 94 as well. Lord, how long will the wicked triumph? They utter speech and speak insolent things. All the workers of iniquity boast in themselves. They break in pieces your heritage, O Lord, and afflict your heritage. They slay the widow and the stranger and murder the fatherless. Does this sound like somebody familiar?
Yeah.
Yes, exactly, friends. This is what they do again and again and again. Yet they say the Lord does not see, nor does the God of Jacob understand. They don't fear God. Understand, you senseless among the people. You fools, when will you be wise? He who planted the ear, shall he not hear what you said on that radio broadcast 2 weeks ago? He who formed the eye, shall he not see the doctor and the mother who leave the child to starve to death on the table after an aborted abortion? The Lord knows the thoughts of men, that they are futile. Shall the throne of iniquity, which devises evil by law, have fellowship with you? Shall the legislature of Virginia, shall the governor of Virginia, which devises evil by law, have fellowship with you? They gather together against the life of the righteous. They condemn innocent blood. But the Lord has been my defense, and my God the rock of my refuge. He has brought on them their own iniquity, and shall cut them off in their own wickedness. And that's what happens when somebody finds the yearbook from 1986. The Lord our God shall cut them off. Psalm 94 applies to Governor Ralph.
Yeah, do not fear the one who can kill the body. You need to fear the one who can kill the body and cast the soul into hell. You don't need to fear the people who are voting for you. Fear the one who made you.
Well, before we're done with this edition of the program, friends, we want to take the last few minutes to talk about what's going on with the CCCU and the NAE as they continue to back this Fairness for All pro-homosexual initiative. Friends, this has been so damaging to all of Christianity. Remember, this is the PCA. This is Biola College. This is King's College. This compromise in which they are committing themselves to put people like Jack Phillips in prison in order to save their own skin. Friends, this is the most egregious things that evangelicals have done in the history of evangelicalism. Shirley Mullen, president of Houghton College and board member for the Council for Christian Colleges and Universities, she says that the CCU's advocacy of the compromise with homosexuality called Fairness for All is a risk. So she's calling the compromise a risk. She understands what is happening here, but she underscored her support for what she called those fundamental personal choices made by homosexuals. Now, this is reported in the Christian Post recently. She also said that God allows people, this is her quote, God allows people to make these choices concerning homosexual behavior about if they're going to obey him or if they're not going to obey him. And friends, this is her explanation for why the CCCU and, of course, the NAE as well have endorsed this Utah Compromise, Fairness for All, which, by the way, the Mormons came up with it first. And the compromise will persecute Christian landlords. It will persecute Christian employers, Christian-owned bakeries, and any organization deemed a public accommodation that will not support homosexuals and their homosexual celebrations. So this is what the CCU is doing. It's the ultimate Judas ploy. It's the ultimate betrayal of Christ. It's the ultimate betrayal of other Christians. And again, this is the PCA speaking. This is Biola speaking. This is King's College speaking. as the board member for the Council for Christian Colleges and Universities is telling us that homosexuals have a right to make these fundamental personal choices. Now, friends, as she tells us that God allows people to make these choices concerning homosexual behavior, and that's why she advocates fairness for all. Friends, we should support people making choices while we don't support the choices they make. This is highfalutin obfuscation. This is demonic. This is the twisting of words. Now, put this in another context. Take the serial killer who's making a personal choice. This is Shirley Moulin speaking of serial killing. Okay, maybe not homosexuality, but let's put into that slot the sin of murder or serial killing or infanticide. We should support people making choices to kill other people, cut them into pieces, and store their body parts in fridges. God allows people to make these choices about if they're going to obey him.
Yeah.
Does that make any sense?
But murder is a sin. Wait.
Does God allow people to make the choice to cut people into little pieces and store their body parts in fridges? Friends, again, ask yourself, what is Shirley Moulin, president of Houghton College and board member of the Council for Christian Colleges and Universities, saying when she says, we want to allow these people to make their fundamental personal choices? God allows people to make these choices. We should support people making choices to kill other people, cut them into pieces, store their body parts in fridges? God allows people to make these choices about if they're going to obey him? Does that mean we shouldn't discourage them from doing this? Speak against it, disallow it from happening in our homes and businesses? We wouldn't want to prevent these people from renting homes from Christians and doing their dirty work in hotel rooms owned by Christians, whether it be the homosexuals or the serial killers. This is a failure of Christians to stand against the evil of the day, Steve.
Yeah.
This is what's happening here. When governments force landlords, employers, and bakeries to do this or that with their capital, these governments are stealing from them and refusing them to let their use their money, at least for the purposes of moral causes,
mm-hmm.
or to provide a context in which moral, God-glorifying, God's law-maintaining exercises are conducted in those businesses and those properties owned by Christians.
Yeah, what it really comes down to is, do you believe that all Scripture is God-breathed? Is all Scripture of God? And is all Scripture useful in training and teaching in righteousness and rebuking? Is that really the case? And if it's not, then you're choosing parts of God's word to obey and not to obey?
I think what's going on here is, yes, Christian colleges are less and less interested in submitting to the law of God as the basis for what they do. In other words, I don't see anything here interacting with food offered to idols, because that's really the issue. That's the issue that the Apostle Paul brought out. Should Christians engage in the market while they're allowing some implicit approval of the activity, sexual activity, the ungodly sexual activity going on in those businesses or with those businesses? So those are the sorts of things that these colleges should be interacting with, but they're not interested in that. They're not interested in the Word of God. They're not interested in bringing biblical principle to bear. They're not interested in interacting with how the principle of food offered to idols applies to homosexual marriages and accommodations for homosexuals. See, this is the kind of thing that they refuse to do. They refuse to bow the epistemological knee to the Word of God, to the Word of the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't acknowledge him to be the ultimate authority, and they're not going to receive his word as the ethical authority in their lives by which they will conduct their businesses and their Christian colleges. Friends, this is the issue. The question, of course, is, where is the fear of God as the beginning of wisdom and knowledge for these Christian colleges? Because the fear of God is not the beginning of knowledge in the area of the Christian college, in the area of this academic secular form of knowledge, they have jettisoned the importance of the fear of God and the reverence of God. They refuse to tremble at his word when it comes to conducting the Christian college. And that, of course, goes all the way back to the separation of sacred doctrine from philosophical knowledge built up on human reason, the distinction made by Thomas Aquinas some 800 years ago. So the perversion of the college, the perversion of the Christian college came by way of separating out sacred doctrine from the philosophical knowledge built up on human reason. So we have human autonomy here exercising itself in the Christian college until these Christian colleges come out from among them, be separate, until these Christian colleges repent of this and bring the fear of God and the authority of the Word of God back into the Christian college. Friends, you need to abandon the Christian college entirely. Unless they're pulling away from these doctrines, unless they're pulling away from this secular form of knowledge and coming back to the Word of God as the basic foundation and the fear of God as the beginning of knowledge, friends, you need to abandon this form of learning. Well, that wraps up this edition of the Generations Radio broadcast. If you'd like the whole story on how the corruption of the Christian college occurred over 500 years of this nation's history, please get a copy of Apostate, The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West. And be sure you get multiple copies to hand out to your kids and grandkids who may be attending college somewhere. They need to be rooted and grounded in a proper biblical perspective of knowledge. And what has happened in the Western world and the corruption of the Western world and the destruction of a Christian form of knowledge and a Christian worldview in the Western world. That's the story I tell in Apostate, The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West. Again, get a copy of our new version of Apostate, The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West. It's new. It's revised. It has new chapters in it. Get a copy of Apostate, The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West at our website, generations.org, kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.